Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Lord, thank you that your word tells us that apart from you, we could do nothing good. We need you, Lord. And I pray that you speak today. I pray that you touch hearts and that you change minds, Lord. I pray that you would encourage the believers in this house to go further with you and closer to you and understand and recognize our purpose and our calling in missions, each and every one of us. And I thank you for all you're doing in all of our lives in your mighty name. Amen. All right. This is just a side note. This is something I heard this week from a pastor named Zach Pooney. He's from India, and I won't charge you anything extra for this. This is free. I'll give you this for free. He said that worship, a lot of people believe that worship is when you come to church on Sunday and you sing a few songs. That is worship. That is a form of worship, and it is a wonderful time when we corporately come together and we worship the Lord. But he said that many Christians don't understand that worship is also when you're in your home by yourself and you're tempted to do evil. When nobody sees what you're doing and you choose to honor God with what you're doing, that also, every single day, every moment of every day, is worship. So let us not forget that and let us keep that. So I also want to encourage us this morning that when we go through these different series, this is not something that is taken lightly. This is something that God has impressed upon the heart of our leadership, and they take it very seriously. So as a corporate body, when we come together, God has a message for us, and it comes through the people that are allowed to stand here and speak, mostly through our leadership and our pastor, Bruce. And this is what's on his heart during this season. So let none of us just take it lightly and listen to the message and not apply it to our lives, but let us take it very seriously that are we a mission field or a mission force? Next slide, please. I put on the beginning of the title of this message, mission field or mission force, because we're either one of those two things. Which one, if you're a Christian, do you want to be? Do you want to be the mission field? We're not supposed to be. Or are you the mission force? If we're the mission field, then we're not a Christian. We're either one or the other. If we're the mission force, it's because we are a Christian. And so the next thing that we're going to look at is the scriptures. And I want us to be able to take a hold of these scriptures by faith. You see, I believe that faith is not based on just whatever we want it to mean, whatever we think is right. Faith is based on God's word that he has given us. And that's where we put our faith. That's where we put our faith. We put our faith on what he has said, not what we think is right, not what somebody tells us might be right. We put our faith in when we go to his word and say, this is what God has said. So this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to believe in. This is what I'm going to trust in. And I can stand on this, and I know that God is with me. Next slide, please. So today, who is called to missions? Who is called to missions? You can go to the next one. Each and every one of us need to own this. This is instruction that is given to the church for every single believer. So we can't just take this today and hear these words and say, wow, that's great. And then we go on to next week and we don't think about it again. You know, the Bible talks about Satan, like the birds of the air coming by and snatching the word of God away from us when we leave out of here. We need to own this. And if we own it, then that means that there's going to be action that comes afterwards. When we're on a mission, there's a clear objective. What is our mission? What is our objective? All right, you can go back to the first one of the verse if you want. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So if we're believers, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry. What is ministry? Oftentimes, I know in America, I know I'm fresh and I'm new here, and I don't understand all the ways in the culture, but I'm learning, and I want to minister to Taiwanese people so bad. I want to be fluent in Chinese so bad, and I'm working on that. But I know in America, often a minister could get put on a pedestal, or they could be put in a high position and thought of so high and great. But if we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, he got down on his hands and knees and washed the disciples' feet. And he said, I did not come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. That word, if we look in the definition of the Greek original word, it's diakonos, and it means a servant, a menial task, someone who waits on someone and comes to someone and serves someone. And what are we serving them with? It's the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What can reconcile us to God? The word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, as you well know, is someone who goes forth on behalf of someone else. They do not come with their own message, their own way, doing their own thing. They represent an authority. Each and every one of us who are believers in this house represent Jesus Christ. We represent God Almighty. He is the authority. And we go forth, not with our own message, with his message, into this world each and every day. We go forth on behalf of someone else. When we leave our house in the morning, before we leave, when we spend time with God, we need to ask him, Lord, please use me today. I know that you have opportunities for me today to pour out your love and your life into someone else who is lost. We are ambassadors of Christ, each and every one of us, in Christ Jesus. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It says that God is making his appeal through us. So God chooses to use us believers to reach the people in the world who are lost. He chooses to use us. He didn't have to do it that way. He could have done it many ways. But isn't that just an amazing thing that we get to participate with God in this work that we can never accomplish on our own? We can never pay for the price that was paid for sins. But he says, I want to take you. I want to lift you up. I want to cleanse you. I want you to be my son on this earth, not yourself, but he's going to work through you, and you're going to be able to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Whenever I speak, I always want to give the gospel. There's maybe people in this house today that don't know the Lord and hear me talking to the believers this morning and are saying, well, this is very interesting, but I don't understand. And I know that we're here in Asia, and I've learned a lot of things as God has called me to reach Chinese people. We tried to go to China twice, and the door closed. And God brought us here. He always had a plan. Praise God. It's not about a place. It's about the people that he's called us to. And he was preparing us to minister to Chinese people. We just didn't know where we were going. So oftentimes in China and in Southeast Asia, there's a believing in a thought process of that Christianity is a Western religion. It's foreign. It's not ours. Well, it's not Chinese people's. It's not from our country. We have our traditions. We have our backgrounds. We have the things that we believe in and we stand for. And oftentimes, I've even heard of one brother who I met here who became a Christian. His father rejected him after he became a Christian, didn't want to have anything to do with him. And since then, God has brought that relationship back together amazingly. I've heard of someone else saying that they were told, oh, you're a Christian now. You're too good for your culture. You're too good for your family. But Christianity has never been a Western religion. You see, from the very beginning, God always had this plan. Woman, we're all human beings. And God loves every single one of us. He wants us all, every one of us, to know him and have a relationship with him. And I'm going to say the word if today. I'm going to say that if there's any unbelievers in the house, the word if. If the Bible is true, then it is the most important information in the whole world. It is the most important thing we could ever know or understand. Don't just follow your traditions. Don't just follow your culture, the things that you're taught in the world. But be very serious to take heed that if the Bible is true, we all need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we do not have that, then we will be lost for all of eternity. Before I come to know the Lord, I was a very filthy, filthy person. I grew up where my single mother had to be gone working multiple jobs all the time. We could barely make it. I remember growing up, many times we didn't have electricity. We always had something to eat. Believe me, it wasn't, there's people in this world who are really suffering. We had a cooler with ice and some bologna and some bread and, water. And we always had something to eat. But when that was going on, my mother wasn't there. And I was in a place in America called the ghetto, what they call the ghetto, the hood. And my brother stayed in the house. He was like a heavy metal guy with long hair and black tight clothes and all kinds of, and if he even went outside, he'd get beat up. So he just stayed in the house as much as possible. But I went out and I was with the gangsters, the thugs, the people who were robbing, stealing, lying, cheating, shooting, using drugs, selling drugs. And I very much became a product of that environment. I remember one time before we launched to the mission field, we found out that there was a Chinese church about 30 minutes away from where we were in Columbus, Mississippi, a small country town in America at that time. And as soon as I found out there was a Chinese church 30 minutes away, we started going there every week on Friday evenings. And we would eat together. And I wanted to learn anything I could learn to prepare to go to the field. Ended up, shortly after being there, I was teaching the class of students that were from China that came to study at MSU, Mississippi State University. And as I was teaching the class, I gave my testimony one day. And there was a couple of young men in that class that weren't believers, that they really came because they just wanted community and they were by themselves. Unfortunately, the statistics are like 95% of foreigners that go to America to study in university never see the inside of an American's home, which is unfortunate. But there was these two boys, one was named Zhang Bo and one was named, we called him Robin. And after I gave my testimony and told about all these things that I've done in my past and how God changed me, Zhang Bo still felt like he didn't need God. He said, I've never been evil like you. I've never done evil like you've done. I've never been as bad as you are. I've never done anything like that. And he held his head up high. I said, okay, Zhang Bo, I understand. You may not have done what I've done. And because I study to be able to reach people, I had an answer for him that day. And I want to share that with you. I said, Zhang Bo, if you came up and you slapped me in my face and knocked me down, and I got up, I called the police, and I pressed charges, what do you think would be the result of that? And we were in America at the time, and he didn't know, because he doesn't do stuff like that. And I said, the result would be you get arrested, go to jail, maybe be there for a couple hours, pay a fine, and get out. And then I said, but Zhang Bo, if you went up to the president of the United States and you slapped him in his face, or hold on, wait a minute, how about Xi Jinping? Let's say you slapped him in his face, you were in China. What would be the result? It'd be over. It's the same offense, right? It's not about the crime that we've committed, the sin that we've done. It's about who we've done it to. We have sinned against a holy God who is perfect and righteous and cannot even be in the presence of sin. And I hope that he understood that day, and I pray for him all the time. The fact of the matter is that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And we all need Jesus Christ. Apart from him, we will perish in our sins, and we will go to a very real place that is called hell for all of eternity, which is horrible. But because God loves us so much, and he created us, and we can't be God, we're not God, we're not perfect. He wanted us to be individuals, to make our choices, to not be robots. He could have made us robots where we kneel, stoop, and bow and praise God perfectly every time and never done anything wrong. But no, we're individuals. You are a person. And because of that, he saw that more important than abolishing sin and destroying us all. But because of that, he gave his son to come, humble himself, a little lower than the angels, become a man, dwell on this earth, never commit a sin, and he was the perfect sacrifice. He paid for the sins of the world. Not a Western religion. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He died on the cross for our sins. You can be free today from sin and death. He was in the grave. He rose on the third day. He was seen by over 500 people at one time and by many more. And before he ascended on high, let's take it back to the believers now. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to do and to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, back on the verse that I was on, the last verse, I think it's slide 7. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I have very short time left. Next slide, please. Let's go ahead to the next one, yeah. So if we take a hold of these scriptures that I read earlier in Corinthians, and we own them by faith, then we are not only saying that missions is something that we do when we go cross-culturally. Every one of us are on a mission for Jesus Christ. We are supposed to live lives on mission. When we go out into our day, the most important thing we could do is not our jobs, is not seeking for the things that we like for ourselves in this life, but is to be used by God that day and to change the world forever, change someone's life forever by being available and willing and open, walking in the Spirit of God to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are a mission force, no matter where God has us. Real quick, this is my testimony part. I know the rest of it wasn't really testimony. What is full-time ministry? After I got saved, I was in full-time ministry. I was at a ministry where I didn't get paid. I got food, and depending on from the pastor down to the ministers, depending how long you've been there, you got your choice of donations, like clothes and stuff like that. So I was very low on the totem pole there. But after God saved me from where he brought me from, out of the filth and the destruction and the evil and the sin that he brought me out of the criminal and the drug dealer and the thief and the robber that I was, when he saved me and he changed me, there was nothing else for me. All I wanted to do was serve God. And for a few years, I did that in that ministry. And then I went into a new season where I was doing construction work. And I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that God was going to put me in full-time ministry. This is what I had in my mind. And I was working for several years, and it didn't happen. But I was serving at my church. I was I was telling people the gospel out on the streets, but I thought there was something else. Like, I'm supposed to be reaching the masses and changing the world, and I'm the one that's gonna, you know, make the path into the jungle and save tribes and do all these things. And he had me doing construction work. Around the end of like around 3 or 4 years after serving in that ministry, after I got saved for a few years, he had me in this one house, and it was all orchestrated by God. I was working on this huge mansion of a house in downtown New Orleans, and it was a lawyer who owned the house. And the guy who I worked for, and usually alongside, had to go out of town. So he was gone for a few weeks. When he got back, he had to catch up on everything else. So I worked in this house for about a month. You know who was in that house with me? Just God. That's it. There was nobody to minister to. God was there, and that was a wonderful thing. But I was in a wrong place. I was telling God, I was just in agony inside of myself. Why, God? Why am I here in this house? I'm tearing down walls, building things, putting in bathtubs, painting, and doing this. This doesn't matter. All this is going to burn one day. It's all going to be gone. I could be helping people to know you, Lord. Why am I here? I want to be in full-time ministry. And God just patiently sat by. Go build that wall over there, son. The lawyer who owned the house would pop in and pop out here and there, and he would just come by. He was one of those guys that you could tell he's very intelligent, he's very rich, and you know, he's just has that kind of mindset where he's real fast, mover shaker. You know, he's not gonna have a long conversation with you. And he would come, look what I was doing, say, hey, what's up, hey, all right, and then he would go on about his business. And, you know, when he came in, I was waiting. I was like, I wanted to try to talk to him because he's the only one I had, you know, to talk to. And I just remember how much I was whining and how much I wanted to be in full-time ministry at that time. On one of the last couple days of my time working in that house, after a month, the lawyer came in, and that day was different. God had been working on his heart, not only for 30 days, but yes, greatly in 30 days, but even before that. And I even think that he, maybe because I used to put memory scriptures up where I could walk by and read them when I was walking by, and my Bible was always with me. He brought up spiritual things, and he was all ears, and he wanted to talk to me that day. And I was able, he told me that his great great grandfather used to ride a horse and a buggy from one town to another town because both of them had no pastor. And so they would only get a service every other week because he would go back and forth. And I started, of course, you know, I'm always looking for the opportunity to bring up spiritual things. He already brought it up, and I started talking to him, and I asked him where he was at with the Lord. You know, does he have any spiritual background? And he told me that his almost his whole family are Christians. He's the black sheep. And he almost kind of took pride in that he wasn't going along with the crowd, and he was separate. And he said he had all these questions, and his brother and him would debate about them. Well, praise be to God that I take this very seriously, that we're a mission force. And I had some good answers to give him that day that he never heard before. Not only that, but God was working on his heart intensively in those 30 days. And on that day, I was able to share the gospel with that man. You know why? Because I was in position right where God wanted me to be. And even though I was whining and I wanted to do things my way, he still used me. I saw that man later in public. And when I talked to him, he came up to me very gladly to talk to me. And he referred to himself as a Christian. Praise be to God. And God showed me that day that every single one of us, no matter where we are or what we're doing, we are to be this mission force. We are in full-time ministry. No matter how mundane your life may seem, no matter how hard going to work every single day and doing the same thing might be. It's not all about that. God uses that as a tool, and He wants to use you. I know that I'm out of time, so I'm going to end right here and turn it back over to Pastor Bruce. Thank you all.
That's good. Thank you. Wherever you might be, God wants to use you. The places where you work, the places where you live. Because all around us, there are people who need Christ, whose hearts are hungry. This lawyer, his heart was hungry for spiritual things. But we don't know until we begin to open up our hearts and share and just look for those opportunities. As we close today, first of all, if you've never invited Christ into your life and never experienced God in your life, we want to just give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life. Or if you felt like your heart is far from God, and you've just kind of been going through the motions in life, or even just going through the motions in your Christianity of doing religious works, but not really connecting with God. We want to take a moment here and just come back to God. The Bible calls this repentance. Faith is a trust in God. To say, God, I trust that you love me, you died for me, and that you want to connect with my heart. Repentance is a turning from our own selfishness, our own interests, and turning towards Him. And today, would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, I thank you for the words that Joseph shared with us today. The promise in your scripture that if we are in you, we become new creations. You give us new hearts. You direct us into new lives, really the life that you intended for us when you created us. And Father, today you know each and every one of our hearts. Father, you know those of us who our hearts have drifted far from you. Those of us who have been in pursuit of our own things. Those of us who have just been trapped in sin. And Father, today we thank you for the gift of repentance that we can turn from our own distracted and ways of living and turn towards you. And so right now, Lord God, we just turn towards you. We repent, Lord God, and just say, Lord, forgive us of living our own sinful lives, living our own distracted lives. And God, draw us back into that place of living for you and living in relationship with you. And Father God, we thank you that those of us who know you, Lord God, that you've called us to live as missionaries wherever you've placed us, in the places we live, in the places we work. And Father, even as we are here today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just begin to show us the people around us, the places around us where you've called us to be a light, to share the love of Jesus. And Father, today we just say, Lord, you guide us. Lord, may each and every one of us, may you call us out of that place of just being a mission field and waiting for people to come and share with us about Jesus. But Lord, let us begin to become missionaries ourselves. That Lord, we would see the opportunities around us to share your love, to share your grace, to share your healing and deliverance with people. That Father, this church would not just be a church of people, receivers, receiving from you, but Lord God, we'd be a church of missionaries who take what you give us and share it with others. So we thank you for that now today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joseph, thank you for sharing the word. Let's just give a hand once again.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.